sad day for our sport. Sad day for the Howe family. Sad day for the Red Wing organization, fans of the Red Wings and fans of hockey. Gordy was one of the greatest players in the history of our game, and I also think he was the greatest, one of the greatest ambassadors of our sport. Not only when he played, but up until probably 3-4 years ago when his health started to deteriorate.
Oh my goodness! Listen, obviously it's a tough day for everyone, and I was saying earlier to my wife that you kind of know this day is coming. I talked to her a couple weeks ago, and they put Gordy into a hospice, and they were trying to make him as comfortable as possible. But until it actually happens, you don't really think it's going to happen, and so it's a sad day for everyone.
Well, you always admire a good player. I mean, a lot of people said Gordy was a little bit dirty with his elbow, but I don't think so. I think he was a strong guy, and, he liked to keep the puck for himself, and you just had to go and try to take him out from him, and I think Gordy was a beautiful player to watch.
And Garrett will clear it to the other side for Mark Howe. Howe coming up on the right side. Howe over the line to his father. Son to father, back and shot, they score! Number 9, Father Howe, and number 5, Mark Howe, and the crowd appreciates that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny, so do I. It's just a pleasure to see this big guy out there. Look at the work he does here. Here's the backhand shot, and he had something on it, too. I think it may have deflected just in front of the net, and it beat Denny Herron cleanly, but... Big Father Time still doing his thing out here, and they're going to give him a standing ovation here in the Montreal Forum.
A tremendous tribute to one of the most amazing athletes in any sport. There's a bouncing shot into Garrett. Here's the announcement on the goal.
Let me hold up. Gordy Howe.
Welcome back. Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690. Perhaps if you were with us earlier, you heard from Yvonne Cornway and Kenny Holland, the executive vice president and general manager of the Detroit Red Wings, and Gordy Howe, that incredible call by Danny Galvin. Gordy Howe's final goal in the NHL, assisted by his son Mark, beating Denny Herron with a backhand from inside the blue line at the Montreal Forum, the playoff series that the Canadiens swept away Howe and Bobby Hull and the Hartford Whalers. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Sean Campbell in for Mitch Gallo, Pierre McGuire standing by.
Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Dagwood Salada Dag. All the freshly sliced ingredients of any Dagwood sandwich wrapped in crispy lettuce. It's a breadless sandwich, and it's really tasty.
Back in San Jose, Pierre McGuire, how are you?
I'm good, Mitch. You know, it's interesting. I was listening to that call from the great Danny Galvin. It was great hearing Yvonne Cornway talk about him. What was interesting is you forgot one name, Claude Mouton.
Claude Mouton making the announcement.
Oh, that was he was so good. I remember as a kid, the opening night of the new form, not the Bell Center, not the Molson Center, the new form. Remember that, Mitch, in the late 60s when all the steel girders came down?
1968.
There you go. And the first team to play in that building, the Detroit Red Wings with Alex Delvecchio and Gordy Howe. I remember it like it was yesterday watching the game. And so a lot of good memories. Had the privilege of knowing Mr. Howe pretty well. I got to know him through Chuck Caton when I was coaching the Hartford Whalers. He was obviously a larger-than-life figure in the game, but a huge ambassador for the Hartford Whalers brand at the time that I was there. Very respected, obviously. But it's ironic that I'm in San Jose right now because not that long ago, Gord Miller and I went to dinner with Mark Howe out here at a restaurant, and Mark was talking about his dad. In glowing terms, but he said one time we were in Houston in the WHA and we were in practice and this guy kept running. He was a new guy they had just acquired and he kept running Mark and Marty Howe, and Gordy finally went up to him and the boys are saying, we can fight our own battles. Don't worry about us. And Gordy went up to the guy and said, stop it right now. They're your teammates. And the guy didn't stop. Well, the next thing you know, Gordy goes on the ice with him in practice and drills him with one of those sharp elbows that Yvonne Cornwell was talking about.
Yeah.
And the guy never got up. Never got up. Mark told us that story. We couldn't stop laughing.
Well, what's amazing is Danny Gallivan used the word amazing. My earliest playing memory of Gordie Howe was a breakaway. Rogi Vashnov's first NHL game. He had been called up in 1966. 30 seconds into the game, Gordie Howe was a breakaway on him, and he stopped him. That's the year, of course, the Canadiens went to the final against the Leafs. The Leafs won their last cup. So I got the tail end of Gordie Howe's career, but it's still, when you look at him in his late 30s and early 40s, how he produced, he scored over 100 points in 1969 at a very advanced age. And then he came back and he still produced in his 50s. He scored 100 points in the WHA in his late 40s.
You know, that's the most amazing part about it. What young people need to know that never had the privilege of watching him play live, what you think of as a power forward today, he was the prototype. He's how people gauged whether you were a power forward or not. I think he kind of invented the position, Mitch, if you know what I mean.
He sure did.
He was the big guy that could control the... Remember how they used to call him a corner man, guys that could control the corners. He could control the corners. He could control the neutral zone. He could control the slot, but he controlled the boards. You know, I think it was Yvonne saying he just wanted the puck. He wanted to own the puck. He could own it because he dared you to come get it from him. And once you came close to him, he might hurt you. So the thing that's amazing about Gordie Howe, I find, is as savage a quality that he had on the ice, he was probably one of the most tranquil guys I've ever met in the NHL, away from the ice. Amazingly polite and tranquil.
Yeah,
very soft-spoken.
Seems to be unanimous. Just a reminder, between 6 and 7, the Friday Scrum edition of Habs Lunch, we talked to Pat Stapleton, who had to defend Gordie Howe for many years, and we talked to Kenny Holland. And so that's on between 6 and 7. Coming up in about 20 minutes, a conversation I had with Gordie Howe from 1995. The year his son Mark was still playing at the age of 39 for the Detroit Red Wings, a team that went on to lose the Stanley Cup Final and 4 straight to the Devils. So that's coming up after Pierre. Let's get to the hockey game last night.
It was Bill Mazeroski at age 24 who became the first major league player to end the World Series with a seventh game, ninth inning home run. 1960 against the New York Yankees, who were in the middle of winning the World Series in 9 out of 14 years. He is remembered here in Pittsburgh, revered, very active with the Pirates, and tonight taking in the Penguins.
How about that? We talked about the hype, city of Pittsburgh looking to celebrate at home its first championship since the Mazeroski homer in 60. He's in the building, and what you warned us against for a couple of days happened.
Well, I'm not surprised that I'm back in San Jose. I booked my flight a long time ago. I really thought this is where the series was going to get to. It's no one's fault. It's just the reality of the situation. I don't know how much differently it could have been handled by the team, but the hype, the pomp and circumstance, everything was done with the cart going before the horse. And I think it's a valuable lesson to anybody going forward. This reminds, and you talked to Aaron Ward appropriately so yesterday, this reminds me so much of what happened with Carolina and Edmonton in 2006 coming out of the lockout. It really does. So it'll be interesting to see how Pittsburgh bounces back. I thought they had a tremendous last part of the second period and a fantastic third period, but Martin Jones was just awesome in goal. But again, it was the start, Mitch, and the start wasn't good enough from Pittsburgh, and it was very good for San Jose.
And as we pointed out, there were some key San Jose guys offensively who were due. They were overdue. And Logan Couture was fantastic. Brett Burns was tremendous. Joe Pavelski, even though it was an empty net, he had a good game. Guys got on the score sheet that needed to get on the score sheet.
Absolutely. Really salient points. I think the biggest thing, though, is Pete DeBoer had his team ready for the start of the game. Burns was turned loose. Look at how aggressive their defense was coming out of their own zone and into the Penguins' zone. Watch what they did, chip chase and check hockey. Watch where they were shooting the puck. They had a plan for Matt Murray, elevate the puck as much as possible, and they were able to do that. But you nailed it with Logan Couture and Ben Burns in particular. They were fantastic offensively. Pavelski and Thornton were probably the best they'd been in this series to date. But the face-off domination by San Jose in the third period in their own zone was critical to their success. So all these things went into a really good game plan from the coach, Pete DeBoer.
You mentioned Martin Jones. Let's see. It's the third time in the Stanley Cup Final he's made at least 38 saves, 44 saves last night. I mean, he and Mark Vlasic were just tremendous, especially in the third period. It looked like they were hanging on for dear life until they got that empty netter, Pierre. What's the feeling like on the bench when the other team is pressing and pressing and you don't want to let it slip away?
You know what? They weren't panicked at all. They really weren't. Some teams would be jittery and panicky and making mistakes and not paying attention to the little things they have to do. They were very composed. And the message wasn't loud and verbose from the coach. Mike Sullivan's message is extremely loud on the Pittsburgh bench. Pete DeBoer's is not nearly as loud. I would say in New Jersey, Pete was a lot louder than he is in San Jose. So I thought it was actually a really composed environment on the San Jose bench, Rod.
Pierre, three goals on five shots early on for Matt Murray. How close do you think Mike Sullivan was to turning to Marc-Andre Fleury?
I would say that if the fourth goal went in early in the second period, I would say there probably would have been a goalie change. I think it was that close to maybe a changeup. But I thought Matt played really well at certain segments of the second and certain segments of the third. I thought he made some really good saves.
And still they strap for it. Marlowe pulled it away, got it on back to Burns, hurried it across, now for Dillon. Chubb went around in front, and a shot, score! It's Carlson from right in front of the net. It's 3-2 in favor of the Sharks.
Shoot in, retrieval, forecheck, get the puck back to the point. Burns went over to Brendan Dillon. Brendan Dillon moves it down low. Melker Carlson just snaps it on goal, and that finds its way to the inside part of the body on Matt Murray. You see the grinding, the pushing, the hustling. Marlowe back to Burns. Burns over to Dillon. Dillon down low. You see the Couture, the bump pass, and then Melker Carlson right through the glove and the hip.
Pierre, we talked yesterday. I'm not blaming Matt Murray for the loss, but he does seem to have this awkward nature about him on pucks between his arm and the left side of his body. There's an issue there.
There is. Did you see the tape I had built that we showed last night?
Yep.
You could see it. The tape doesn't lie, and it's a problem, Matt's side of his body. He's real good on the right side of his body more times than not. I know he's given up two short side goals, but that happens from time to time with young guys that are over-aggressive, but on the left side of his body, he's going to have to get better. And again, I think that's just simple refinement of body positioning, staying up and keeping his glove more stationary. I think his glove drops, Mitch. I don't know if you agree, but I think his glove drops a little bit, and I think that causes him some problems.
One thing he's shown, he always bounces back.
Oh, yeah, he's strong. He's mentally strong. Now, again, this is just a warning. I'm not making a prediction. It's just a warning. I think this is where the series causes some problems for Pittsburgh because of time zone. Remember now, game number four was here on Monday. They flew back home Tuesday. They had Tuesday and Wednesday off. Played last night. Now they're back here today. Now the body clock's getting fouled up because now you're going through the turbulence of different sleep patterns. Game six is Sunday night, so let's see how it plays out with Pittsburgh. But I think there's a real good chance it'll be a game seven because of what everything that's gone on, and it won't be because of Matt Murray.
Even with the extra day?
Yeah. I think that now on this segment, trust me, I've done it a lot this spring, on this segment when you do it in less than 5 days, it causes some problems, even though there is that extra day. You're kind of like in no man's land. You just don't know what time zone you're in.
The start last night that you kind of anticipated, was that due to the circumstances that you outlined, or do you think San Jose will be able to duplicate that first few minutes?
I think it was a byproduct of two things. I think it was one because of all the hype and the adrenaline and kind of frozen in time and putting the cart before the horse if you're Pittsburgh, and San Jose doing exactly what I can't believe they haven't done it more, but chip, chase, and check. And take the speed element out of Pittsburgh's game by forcing them to defend, get them up against the boards, make them feel some physical pain, challenge their defense, which is undermanned without Trevor Daley, and don't give them easy outs out of their own zone. They did that real well. So I think it was a byproduct of both, the Pittsburgh being a little bit anxious and San Jose having a real well-scripted game plan.
Pierre, it did seem like there were two games, the way that it started and the way that it ended, but it was the first time that San Jose actually were able to hold a lead and get a lead in the series. What were they doing when they had the lead that they weren't able to do in the previous four games?
Well, again, they never had the lead. They got the lead because they got pucks in deep, and they were able to challenge the defense and create opportunities more than just one opportunity. They weren't one and done. They were creating more opportunities because they were getting pucks around the net. They were challenging Matt Murray. They were getting it in behind and making him uncomfortable. But you saw how fragile it was. Dinah Zubrus puts it up and over the glass, boom, power play goal. Brendan Dillon, bad turnover, boom, puck in the net, 2-2. So it shows you how fragile it can be. They're going to have to be a lot more resilient in Game 6. I think they will be. They're pretty comfortable here. We'll see how they play. I got to think they're going to play their most physical game of the series. Will probably be Game 6. I really believe that.
Matt Cullen carefully played, but Pavelski anticipated, but it was canceled out there by Fair. Shots it ahead. It's taken out of the play. And play continues. The allegation by the thousands was interference.
Yeah, no whistles unless there's a goal, an offside, or an icing, huh?
Yeah, well, we talked about it. You were on this for a while, and the standard has changed. There's no question. The standard, but I think now the players understand that. So it's going to be, you know, puck over the glass gets a penalty, but you haul a guy down. There's no call. So it's interesting.
8 o'clock Sunday night, again on the full NBC network. Have a great weekend in San Jose, Pierre. We'll talk about it on Monday.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers to all the hockey fans that got to know Gordie Howe, thinking of him, especially to the Howe family. He was a magnificent man, an amazing ambassador for the sport, and a true legend in all of sport, not just hockey.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chattahoochee, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads. Melnick in the afternoon.